What we're going to learn now is going to sound like it's contradicting much of what we've been learning until now. And I realize that. But it's not really. It's not really. We're still holding Baruch Hashem by Erev Shabbos. It's going to be still a few more weeks. If somebody asked about the tapes, I think that the way the shul is going to do it is they're going to be preparing a set on Erev Shabbos. That as many as that is, I don't know what that could be, around maybe 7 to 10, I'm not sure yet, on Erev Shabbos. And we'll go through different periods of Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. Good, we have a lot to talk about. There's a hemshich from what we've been learning until now. It's a continuation, but it could be understood. It could be understood on its own. It's hard to understand. Every yontiv has a mitzvah or mitzvahs that are connected to it. We raised the question before. We know that through that mitzvah, even Shavuos to a certain extent, I don't want to go into the lomdus of it right now, but all the Yom Tovim have a specific way of drawing the Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of that specific day, into our lives, into the world. Each Yom Tov, whether it means the halachas, or it means certain hanhagas. Regarding Shabbos, however, Shabbos is shrouded in mystery, and the mystery is the quietness of Shabbos. And what would seem to be its lack of clear-cut mitzvahs. Aside from, of course, Kiddush Havdalah, Kedushas Hayayim, but in terms of vehicles during the day through which the Kedushas Hayayim is expressed, the Sforim HaKadoshim say the following. Sheishis Yorim Ta'avod Vasis Kom Lachtecha. 6 days you shall work. And the seventh day is Shabbos. It says in the Sforim HaKadoshim a very interesting thing, that there's a hint here in Sheishis Yom Tavoid Vasis Komachtecha. There are 6 days of working. It says in the Sforim that this is a hint to the 6 days of Yontiv, the first and the seventh day of Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. These are the 6 days of Tavoid, of Tasa Malachtecha, Vasisa Kol Malachtecha. What does it mean, Vasisa Kol Malachtecha? It means that on these days of Yontiv, on the Yom Tovim, there are Malachis HaKadosh, there are Malachis that we perform. Of course, this is only a remez, there's a hint. The Pasuk's talking about the 6 days of work. But there's work and there's work, and we've been talking about that from the beginning. So the six Yomim Tovim are days where the Rebbeinu Shalom revealed to us specific actions that we're supposed to engage in. Pesach, we eat matzah, and Sukkot, we have the Sukkot and the Arba Minim. Every Yontiv has its melacha. Its way of serving Hashem. And through those melachos, of course not really melachos, but through those actions, a Jew is able to construct on each yontiv the Kedushas Hayayim, the sanctity and the holiness of the day, and to draw it into the world. But the pasuk ends, V'yayim hashvi Shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha. But the seventh day is Shabbos l'Hashem. Is Shabbos. What does that mean? That on the seventh day, Shabbos, the definition, the essence of Shabbos is exactly what that word means, Shvisa. Shvisa, which, you know, in Eretz Yisrael is a very upsetting word, because Shvita means you're not going to be getting anywhere that day. Shvita means a strike. But the word Shvisa, V'yayim HaShvi, Shabbos LaHashem L'Kecha, means that there's a Shvisa even from Melechus HaKadosh. There's no Esrig, there's no Lulav, there's no Sukkah, there's no Shofar, there's no Matzah, there's no Abakaisis, and so on. It's Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha. Why? We learned until now that Shabbos is unique, that Hashem revealed it in the way of a matana, of a gift. Matana Tovah Yeshli. Hashem says, I have a precious gift in my treasury. In the Ginzei HaMelech, there's a special gift. And therefore, what's unique about Shabbos is that the nature of a gift is that one receives it without any hishtadlus, without any effort at all. That's the nature of a gift. It would not be nice if you told somebody, I have a gift for you, you just have to run around the block 3 times. It's soisa, the meaning of a gift. I mean, even though sometimes we do that with children, it's in desperation that they should go to sleep or something and do the homework. But lemaisa, it's a little bit cruel. If it's a matana should be without hishtadlus, right? A gift should be a gift. Again, a gift means that you don't have to initiate anything. It's given to you because of the individual's love for you. And that's the nature of a gift. Therefore, since Shabbos is called a matana, it doesn't even have meleches hakodesh, a piece of matzah, a lulav, a sukkah. It doesn't have meleches hakodesh. It's a matan, it's a gift. What does that mean? Kedusha, holiness, which is itself, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, what it means. Kedusha, whether it's in time, as we're talking about now, or Kedusha in space, in physical space, or in the life of an individual, Kedusha requires human initiative. We've spoken about this many times. Kedusha requires Isarusa de Lasata, an awakening, an initiative for man to begin something. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world. Therefore we see, even when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, certainly as the Chassam Sofer explains in the famous Tshuva, we certainly know that there was something unique and special about that point on the earth from the very beginning of time. There was something special, and therefore we have all the chazals of the Rishon, and that's where the carbon was brought, and so on and so forth, without going into any pratim details. There was something that was special, was designated for holiness from the beginning of time, as the Chassam Sofer explains. However, all of you know that halachically, in terms of halacha, all of that was merely potential. But it required a maisa, an act of sanctification, the kibush, the conquest that would take place with Yehoshua, the Kedusha Rishayna, which is called the first sanctification of Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash would require the Hakadosha, the human initiative of David HaMelech and of Shlomo HaMelech. So Kedusha in space, in physical space, can be drawn into the world only once man has engaged HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that process. But man must begin. Hashem gives us a certain amount of raw material. And He gave us a place on the map, but there has to be a ma'isa, there has to be an initiative on the part of the Jewish people. Without hishtadlus, without man's efforts, Kedusha in physical space cannot be revealed. Similarly, when it comes to the Yom Tovim, Kedusha Samei Adim, everybody here knows that the Yontiv has Kedusha because Beis Din are Mekadshim Nechaydish, because Beis Din sanctifies the new moon, the month. And even now, it's only because, again, without going into the halachas, it's only because of a ma'aseh Beis Din way back that our Yom Tovim can be celebrated as Yom Tovim. And some of you are familiar with the famous sheet of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that if there would not be a Kiddush HaChodesh, if the Jewish people would not sanctify the month, if there would not be that initiative on the part of the Jewish court of the Beis Din to sanctify the month, then the Yom Tovim could not take effect at all. It would not happen. It simply would not happen. And that's the meaning of Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, as Chazal say, that the Jewish people have the ability and the responsibility to sanctify through their actions, to sanctify time and space, to do something. And as a result of that something, to set off something much greater. Shabbos, however, is different. We're going to have to work a lot on this inyan. We're just going to start now. Shabbos is different, because Shabbos, Chazal say, is kriya v'kayma. Shabbos is fixed into creation. Its kedusha drops upon us like a gift. And the kedusha of Shabbos is not something which is depending upon an awakening from below, an arousal from the Beis Din or any other source. The kedusha of Shabbos, and those who have learned the Svarma Kedoshim know this in a very, very deep way, that the whole essence of Shabbos is something that simply descends upon the Jewish people, even without the initiative or the awakening on man's part. In order to understand this, we have to talk a little bit about what Kedusha is. A little bit about what Kedusha is. We're saying it our entire lives. We're talking about holiness, or it's Heilig, it's Heilig, whatever you call it. What is it? So those who think it means just to be separate, if you think that, is very, very chaval. Because that's certainly not enough to satisfy any of us. It's the beginning of Kedusha. The Kedusha Elyon that Tzaddikim have taught us. And here I'm taking a very, very difficult concept and trying to understand it on our level. Some of you are familiar with this from the past. The Tzaddikim have taught us, it's in Chazal, that in order for something godly to be revealed in this world, in order for something Eloki, for something godly, for something from above to be revealed down below, here in this world, there must be a Kli. There must be a vessel, a Kli, some sort of a wire, some hookup, some conduit, a connection that will create a chibur, an attachment between the world above and the world below. Simply put, in the moshel that we can understand and I've spoken about in the past, in a house, one can have many appliances. And there's a refrigerator, there's a vacuum. In some homes, there are televisions that are hidden. Right? They're all types of appliances. Chas v'shalom, I'm just joking. They're all types. I'm saying chas v'shalom that there shouldn't be a television, not that it should be out in the open. Not chas v'shalom that it should be hidden, you understand? It shouldn't be there at all. Okay. All those appliances, for the person who is new in the world and doesn't understand, the person would be shocked at being told that all of these appliances are able to work because there's a God that's called Con Edison. And really, this person is deeply troubled. He is deeply troubled because when he comes into the house, so he sees that there's this one appliance that's plugged into an outlet and it makes things cold. Then he goes to another appliance and he could even take the plug out from one and put the same plug into that god in the wall, and all of a sudden it's heating something up. And there's another appliance that makes a vacuum work, and so on. So for the person who's uninitiated, for the person who's new in the world and has a fresh way of looking at things, as mankind had many years ago, and there's still some people who haven't moved beyond this, except it's a little bit more sophisticated in some places, there are many gods. There's the god of the refrigerator, there's the god of the vacuum, there's the god of the iron, and so on. Anybody that understands more about how these things work knows, of course, that really there's one source of energy. There's one source of energy. Ella, in order for that source of energy to be expressed in the form of cooling something, it has to pass through a certain kli. That kli is called a refrigerator. And the refrigerator was designed and built in a certain way to allow for that amount of energy and the form of energy which will cool things that are placed into it. On the other hand, an iron is different. There's a special kli, and the kli is built in a certain way to allow the energy to pass through it so that it emerges, it materializes in the form of heating something for the purpose of ironing. But really we understand that what's taking place here is that there's a connection from above to below, a mysterious connection from the energy plant to this thing in your house, which is working based upon the nature of the kli through which the god of electricity, so to speak, is flowing into that kli, into that specific kli. This is when it comes to all kalim in this world. And Kedusha works the same way. Kedusha works the same way. What does that mean? The same way when it comes to an appliance. When it comes to an appliance, I don't really understand exactly what's going on inside of there. I mean, I'm not at all familiar with anything, with, you know, how these things work. But all I know is that if I put it into that plug, I put on this button, and there's an indicator light that tells me that the appliance is alive and well. And it's a refrigerator, it's going to cool something. If it's an iron, it's going to heat something. And all I care about is the indicator light. That's all I know. That means that there has been some connection that's been made, and when that connection is made, even though I don't understand the nature of that connection, like many people will ask you, many people will say, you know, I feel, do you feel very spiritual when you eat the matzah? Do you feel very spiritual? Most people feel heartburn when they eat the matzah. If you're on a higher madrega, so, you know, we all close our eyes, of course, but there are many reasons why people close their eyes. But the question is, do you feel spiritual? So, if you're honest, you'll say, not really. Yeah, we're hoping that maybe you will, but sometimes not. You don't feel spiritual. But the indicator light is on. As long as that matzah was baked in accordance to halacha, and it's done properly, when you consume that piece of matzah, then ding, you made the hookup, and the wires connect, and the indicator light is on, and it's flashing, matzah, deraisa, and ding, 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 like you hit the jackpot. You might not feel spiritual, but something godly is happening to you. You might not, which in other places, there might be a lot of spirituality, but there's nothing godly that's come into this world. There's no elokus that's been made present in the world. When a Jew performs a mitzvah, every mitzvah is a kli. Every place of holiness is a kli. That if you do things the way you're supposed to, as we're instructed in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, then the indicator light will light up, and that the elokus, godliness, is somehow passing through that moment in that place, that object of a lulav, whatever it is, if it's a kosher and so on. And when that happens, even if you don't feel anything spiritual and you really don't need to close your eyes to experience this, it's happening. Something godly has taken place. That means that elokus has been drawn into the world. Ideally, we would be more in touch with that and so on. And we can be. Mitzvah, we will be. But the indicator light is on. The machine is working. The appliance is working. It's plugged in to the master of the universe. That's when it comes to all mitzvahs and all places. That's when it comes to everything else. But then there's Shabbos. Shabbos is different. Let me read to you a sentence from the Kohen from Lublin. Rapsodik and Yisrael Kedoshim, Ais Yud Beis. Ukedusha zu, Shebesherish, Belovavas, Bnei Yisrael, Beloi Hishtadlu, some klal. There is a certain Kedusha. There is a certain holiness. I don't like to use the word Kedusha, holiness, let's just say Kedusha. There is a certain Kedusha, Rapsodik says, that exists in the root of the Jewish heart, Beloy yishtadlusam klal, without any effort at all. Zehu kedushas haShabbos, says the Kohen. This kedusha is kedushas haShabbos. Shehi haKedusha dekviya mitzad Hashem Yisbaruch mitchilas b'riyas ha'olam. This is the kedusha that was fixed. That was fixed in the heart of a Jew, in the essence of a Jew, from the time of creation. You see, Avraham Avinu was running around looking for Kedusha. Avraham Avinu was running around bringing people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very, very tiring to follow the journeys of Avraham Avinu, right? If you ever saw it on a map, it's very hard to follow Avraham Avinu. Haloich v'nasaya, unbelievable what was going on with Avraham Avinu. And everywhere he went, v'yikra shom v'shem Hashem kel oylem is screaming out, there's a God. Yitzchak Avinu, he never went anywhere. He never left Eretz Yisrael, right? Yitzchak's whole inyan in this world was to dig wells, or to excavate and to dig wells. Because Yitzchak Avinu means that you don't have to bring it from someplace else. If you dig deep enough, it's been there all the time. You just have to take away the stuff that's on the outside to find it. But if you excavate deeply into the life of a Jew, into the heart of a Jew, there is a certain kedusha in that place that's mitzav Hashem Yisbarach. That's why I've mentioned many times that it says in the Svarim that Yitzchak is the Resh HaTevis Yehudi Tzadik Chosid Kaddish. That a Yid, the Jew, on his own, without any hishtadlis, within him, wrapped up in that very, very strange package of what he might be in this world, wrapped up inside, is a Tzadik, a Chosid, a Kaddish. He didn't have to change his name. Avram became Avraham, Yaakov became Yisrael. Yitzchak blieb Yitzchak. A Yid is a Tzadik, a Chosid, a Kaddish. This Bechina, this reality of who you are, without any adornments, without any changes, Rav Tzadik says, "Shiakedusha dekviya mitzad Hashem Yisbarach mitchilas b'riyas olam shekidush is yom haShabbos." This point inside of a Jew is called Shabbos. This is called Shabbos. Therefore, the Zohar says regarding Shabbos that Shabbos is Shema Dekutcha Brichu. It means that Shabbos is the name of Hashem Himself. Therefore, we understand that Shabbos, we spoke about before, means Shvisa. Shvisa means where everything really stops. It might not look like that to our fleshiga eigen, in our fleshiga eyes. It seems to us when you walk outside, there's still a bus that's going, and there's still things happening in the world. It looks to us, it seems to us, when we look at the world, that the world hasn't stopped. But really, Shabbos is a time when the entire Metzias has come to a halt, and it means that there's no longer a need on the part of Klal Yisrael for any separate line or hookup lines of communication. There is no Metzias other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. And therefore the Kedusha of Shabbos, I'm going to explain more how this works, the holiness, the Kedusha of Shabbos, is the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself that's being revealed inside of you. In other words, 6 days of the week, and even the other Yom Tovim, we have all these different wires and hookups and telecommunications, kalim, appliances, mikalim shoinim, refrigerators and irons and vacuums, and so on. And lulav and esrig and shofar, all the different kalim. And all the wires and the complicated hookups are there to see to it that we could somehow schlep kedusha drawer, kedushas Hashem Yisbarach, from there to here. But on Shabbos, which is Shema Dekutcha Brichu, which is the name of Hashem Himself, everything in the world has stopped. Everything has disappeared. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. This is not something that a human being can create. It's not an appliance. It's not something like a lulav that you could take from a tree, or a pair of tefillin that you could create from the hide of an animal. It's just not in the realm. It's not within human reach. It's something, as Reb Tzadik writes, which is a kedusha dekviya mitzad Hashem Yisbarach mitchilas b'riyas olam. It doesn't depend upon Beis Din. It doesn't depend upon any kind of a conquest. Hashem wove it into the fabric of creation itself. It's a metzias, it's a reality. And maybe we understand that it's not shayach that there should be a special mitzvah for Shabbos. Kiddush is not that. We'll talk about that when we get to Kiddush. But it's not shayach that there should be a kli, that there should be a kli, a vessel that a human being takes hold of. Elo what? It's kula completely a matana toiva. It's completely a matana toiva, a precious gift from Hashem. The tzaddikim have compared this to something that's quite astounding. Everybody knows that there was once upon a time a Navi, a prophet of the Umas Ailam of the nations of the world by the name of Bilam. And Bilam is not exactly an admirable type. And this has created many difficulties. Not only that, but Chazal have revealed to us that the quality of the prophecy of Bilam can be compared only to that of whom? Moshe Rabbeinu. A Pella. It's a wonder. Why? Because the Rambam writes in the 7th parak of Yisodi HaTorah where he speaks about the halachas of Nevuah. Shein ha-Nevuah chala el al-gibah b'midoisav. There are qualifications to be a Navi. There are qualifications. Gibor b'midoisav. The most basic qualification to be a Navi is that a person should be a Gibor b'midoisav. A warrior. More than that. Completely successful at controlling his yetzer, his typhus, his desires. To such a degree that the Navi's yetzer hara, his evil inclination, will never ever get the best of him. Will never get the best of him in any area of life. He is always completely in control of his yetzer. This is the lashon of the Rambam in the 7th parak of Yisaidat Torah. Therefore, the question, of course, is Bilam was the opposite of all of that. Bilam is the biggest mushchas, the biggest manuvel. He was the lowest of the low. And those who remember Rashi and remember Chazal know what I'm talking about. He was a manuvel and a mushchas. He couldn't control any of his desires. So the question, of course, is, and all the Svarim are talking about this, how could it be that Bilam should be a prophet? How is it possible for him to say Nevuah? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explained this in the following way. And this is a very big yesod in understanding Nevuah. The Svarim say the following. The Rambam, in Yesodei Torah over there, in the 7th parak, was talking about other Nevi'im. Not Moshe Rabbeinu and Lahavdil, not Bilam. He was talking about different Nevi'im. Now you and I know, we remember, that other Nevi'im, when they would have a Nevuah, they would literally fall apart. They would literally have a near-death experience, as is described in the Svarim and in Al-Pi Halacha, we know. Mr. Rambam himself talks about it. It was a near-death experience prophecy. Why? Because even the greatest human being, even the greatest appliance, when there's an astounding amount of electricity that's allowed in, can cause a breakdown in the system. Therefore, that a human being is able to receive the Dvar Hashem, you understand it's an extremely dangerous and frightening experience. And the Navi would lose control of his senses, would fall on the floor, would fall into a trance, because as the energy would flow through that kli, that beautiful kli that was called Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yirmiya, Tzchaya Malachi, as the energy would come from the big karet plant, from Echad Yochid and Yuchid, from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself, the energy was flowing through the heart and the mind and the soul of a kli, of a very wonderful kli. That kli had to be ever so delicately tuned and prepared to receive that light. Therefore, the Rambam tells us it has to be a person who's what? Who's a gibor b'midosav, whose body, whose coarse physical existence never gets the best of him. Never, never. And only then, the Rambam is teaching us, only then is it possible for that person to be an appliance that b'koishi ot is able to what? To receive that energy, that light, and not to be blown to a billion pieces. And b'koishi to remain holding on to this world. There were tzaddikim who experienced not perhaps nevuah, but remember that as the years have gone by, the kalim are less able, the appliances are less refined. And there were tzaddikim that went into unbelievable periods of dveikus, of attachment, where there would be a complete and total loss of the self. In recent times, relatively recent times, Rav Kook's family and students would tell that when he would spend a certain amount of days studying Sifrei Kabbalah, Secrets of Torah, and they would keep a close watch on him, and there were times it would reach a point where they felt, where it seemed obvious that Rav Kook was near death, literally. He was not able to eat, he wasn't able to communicate, he was in a trance. And at that point, they had certain techniques of bringing him back into the world. And then he would, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, he'd be writing tshuvas and halacha and dealing with community things. And then all of a sudden, they'd see him again, like with Kisvei Ari, and he was out. He was gone. So we understand. That's when it comes to being an appliance to receive the Devar Hashem, and the indicator light goes on. And in the case of a Navi, the thing starts to shake and go crazy, but the lights are all on. Because why? Because the machine is in good shape. And what does it mean that it's in good shape? A tzaddik, a kaddish. Right? A Navi. That's when it comes to the nevuah of other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, of course, was in a completely different category. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was Bas Beklari Hameira, whatever that means. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was in such a way, took place in such a way, where it did not require all of the hachanis, the preparations of the other Nevi'im, until they would be able to bring themselves into that point of meditation or a trance. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu is described as speaking to Hashem as a friend would speak to a friend. Moshe Rabbeinu did not lose consciousness. He did not disintegrate upon receiving the nevuah. And the Shechina was medaberes mitayr groinai. And the Shechina, the divine presence, was revealed through the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? That means that in that world of Aspaklari in the era of the clear, translucent piece of glass, there is no kli, it's a matana toiva. There is such a thing that Hashem sends a gift into this world. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be such a Jew because why? No, why? Because he's the makabel ha-toira. Therefore, there can't be any physical debris, any little traces. Now, can you imagine Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah? But there can't be any trace of something of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mekabel HaTorah, and the Kabbalah HaTorah, receiving the Torah, had to be in such a way, as we learned 2 weeks ago, that the Torah is also called a Matane, remember? It's also called a gift, the Luchas we spoke about. That's also called a gift. It's a Matana Toiva. It's an unbelievable gift that Hashem was sending into the world, and it was davka delivered in that package of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not the same thing. It's not what we were talking about, preparing the appliance and getting it ready, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. Here it's different. Here it means that without any ishtadlis, without any preparations, without any spiritual meditative exercises, Moshe Rabbeinu was the mouthpiece of Elokus in this world. It happened. And when it happened, just get out of the way and enjoy. That's it. And when Chazal said that even though there was no Leikam, there was no Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu by the Jewish people, but what? By Umas Ha'ilam, come. There was a Novi. And who was that? Bilam. So all of us are shocked. How could it be? Bilam is an Ahapichu. Bilam is a Mushchas Manuvel. He's lower than the animal that he used. So how could it be such a thing? Why Bilam was chosen, that's not for now. That's for a different time. But the point is, as it's explained in the Svarma Kedoshim, the point is that for whatever reason, Bilam's prophecy had nothing to do with the appliance that housed that the evil person. It was not a question of what kind of an appliance it was. Because forget about Nevuah. He couldn't even hear Shtickle Torah. He couldn't hear a Shia from any Rosh Hashiva. That wasn't it. He wasn't the Kli. For whatever reason, there was a direct hookup that was made between Hashem's Baruch and the nations of the world in this way, through Bilam. We will talk more about the Indian of Balak and Bilam, but it's not for now. This Bechina, this reality of Elokus, unadulterated, delivered directly from above, without any human intermediary, is Shabbos. That's the Kedusha of Shabbos. Therefore we understand that all the other Yom Tovim require Kalim. Meaning, on Pesach we experience Cheiris. On Pesach the Jewish... Oh, thank you, Shkai. How do you know them? On Pesach, each and every one of us has access to the world of Cheiris. Whatever that means, it could be you can't stand the job you're in, maybe you could get free, you can't stand other limitations in your life that are holding you back from doing what you need to do and being the person you want to be. Pesach is the time. Pesach is Cheiris. The Baruch Shalom said, you could dream about being free. You could crack a bell someplace in Philadelphia, all you like. And there's gulnish nishelfen, unless you eat masses, and you drink the abrakaises, right? And you're not having chalila any chametz. These are the kalim to draw chayris, freedom, into your life. And whatever freedom, however it's expressed, because that, of course a lot of it has to do with what kind of appliance you are, but the chayris can only be experienced, that kedusha that frees me from limitations and constrictions of my everyday life, that I could change in such a way, that takes place davka through eating the matzahs the right way, within the right time, and so on. Sukkos. You could talk about simcha, I'm happy, I'm so grateful, I'm happy, I love life, I love the world, I love everything. Sukkos requires arbaminim. Again, whatever the halachas are, I'm not going into the details. Those are the kalim and sitting in the sukkah. Shabbos is beside aspeklari hami'ira. That means that Shabbos, I'm not coming to experience, to get something, to be an appliance to receive a frequency that's called freedom, or to receive a frequency that's called joy, or to receive a frequency that's called understanding of Torah Jeshuas. I'm not doing that on Shabbos. On Shabbos, a Jew receives HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido uva'atzmai, the master of the universe himself, the master of the world himself. And when that happens, the entire world is overwhelmed by the experience of receiving that gift. And that explains all the chazals that we've heard since we're children. The chazals say that, you know, there's that mysterious river, the Aseres HaShvatim, those who say Zmiris know there's a place called Sambatyan HaNahar. There's a river called Sambatyan. So chazals say, this mysterious river that separates between this world and the other world, our reality and the reality we're waiting for, that river that's called Sambatyon, according to Chazal, on Shabbos it doesn't flow. It stops. The fire of Gehenna, according to Chazal, whatever that means, of course there's nothing physical, there's nobody standing there with a pitchfork and, you know, stuff like that. But whatever that means, on Shabbos, the fire of Gehenna stops. On Shabbos. What does that mean? It means that the entire creation experiences Shabbos equally. You're standing in the street and you see cars and buses and there are shops that are opened and it looks to you like it's just a Friday or a Thursday. It looks to you like any other day. You don't see it with the flesh of God, even with the eyes. But on Shabbos, really, something remarkable is happening. On Shabbos, the Mitzvah is transformed to something which is godly, whether you see it or you don't see it. Therefore, the entire Bria experiences that. Now listen to what the Kohen writes, Reb Tzadok writes, and we're going to now understand something very amazing. Ki ikra kedusha Shabbos hanikra b'leiv. What is the kedusha of Shabbos that we spoke about before, that it's just part of who you are? It's the godliness that's inside of you. Without making any effort, without doing anything, there is something that's a part of you. So Reb Tzadok writes, Hu ha'akara ditzur levavi v'chelki. Shabbos means the recognition, the awareness, ditzur levavi v'chelki, that Hashem, this is the Liban Shiyasur, that Hashem is my heart. My heart is Mamish Hashem. Hashem is called the heart of a Jew. It's not out there. It's not Avraham Avinu running and looking for company and talking to people and going back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Canaan, Canaan to Eretz Yisrael. It's Yitzchak Avinu who says it's there all the time. You just have to dig. Hashem is Sula Rabbi Vichelki Kamei Sharmu. My Shabbos, it says in the Zohar, what is Shabbos? Shem of the Kutcher Bichu. It's the name of Hashem. That's why you can't say in the mikvah the word Shabbos. You shouldn't say. Because Shabbos is Shem of the Kutcher Bichu. It's the name of Hashem. Shabbos is God's name. As Chazal say at the end of Tanis, that at the end of time, the entire Jewish people, because Amech Kulam Tzadikim, are going to sit in a great circle. And Hashem Kivyohu is going to sit in the center. And every one of us is going to lift up our fingers and point and say, what? Zah Hashem, Kivinu Lai. This is Hashem, He's been here all along. We didn't know. In that world, it'll be completely Shabbosdik. Zah Hashem, Kivinu Lai. We didn't know He was here. We thought we have to look for Him elsewhere. Zah Hashem, and we had to draw Him into the world. Mikaelim Shainim. It had to be Davka in this place. It had to be Davka at that time. Shabbos means, Reb Tzadok says, that taste of what's going to be. When each person will be able to point and say, Zah Hashem Kivinu. K'may Shom V'Seif Tanis. Kein Zeichen Me'ein Zeh B'Shabbos. One is able to sense that Me'ein, a taste of this on Shabbos. The word La'akaris HaNeichach, an awareness of God's immediate presence, not just the indicator light, not just the Kalim, but Kutcher Brichu, Shem of the Kutcher Brichu, the Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samid, that Hashem is Baruch, is Mamish here right before me. Therefore, on Shabbos, a person is no longer living in the domain of human existence, even though it looks like it. Shabbos, one is entering into a different dimension of reality, into a different mitzvah, into that world of Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, into that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. So now we have to come back. Now, I said at the beginning that something here is going to look like a contradiction. Because until now we've been talking about Erev Shabbos, and the general principle of Friday of Erev Shabbos is that Ein Adam Ayichel B'Shabbos, what? Elim Kein Tarech B'Erev Shabbos, that a person cannot have anything out of Shabbos unless you really work hard Erev Shabbos. That seems to be contradicting what we're learning now. What we're learning now is that Shabbos is a gevaldige gift. It's a matonis. It's completely Shem of the Kutcher Brichu. You don't have to do anything L'Chayr. And yet, the busiest, craziest day of the week is Davke Erev Shabbos, getting ready for Shabbos. And we spoke about this the last few weeks, that there are no other mitzvahs that require such hachanas, preparations, and hakdamas. So you would think, as we said before, it doesn't seem nice when there's a gift that someone should tell you to run around the block a couple of times and I'll give you the gift. Especially since now we're learning that on Shabbos, like the Kohen says, Shabbos is the Ribbono Shel Olam mamish sitting inside your heart, underneath all the stuff. That's Hashem is Baruch in your heart. That's what Shabbos is. Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lai. So how do we understand Erev Shabbos based upon what we're learning now? So obviously the answer to that is as follows. And this is what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks also. Kabbalah Shabbos. We don't have that term. What a beautiful term. Kabbalah Shabbos. And that world of Kabbalah Shabbos, that we don't have really a Kabbalah Yontif, we don't really have that. And therefore there's a special Seder of Kabbalah Shabbos that the Mekubalim who saw Hashem sitting in the middle, who were able to point their fingers and say, there He is. Not physically, of course, but they knew it. They prepared for us an order of Kabbalah Shabbos, of L'chad Ba'idi, Avlechun Aranana, and so on. They prepared for us a time of Kabbalah Shabbos. That means Shabbos really, really does not require any kli to draw Hashem's presence into the world. All it requires is that a human being, as we spoke about the very first year this month, all it means is that a person has to not throw away the gift that's being dropped in his lap. First of all, if God forbid a person is mechalel Shabbos, he doesn't keep Shabbos, chalila, he desecrates Shabbos. Even if it's a person that it's not his fault, so okay, we're not talking now about punishment. So if someone doesn't know they weren't raised in a place of Shabbos, it's not their fault. If they don't know the halachas, it's not their fault. If a person wasn't brought up with Shabbos. That's a question of punishment. Or whether it's a person who knows and he willfully violates. What they share in common is that chilul Shabbos, the word chilul is the word halal. And halal means to empty something out. It means a vacuum. It means Mechalel Shabbos is lacking das mekabel. He doesn't want to receive it. If it's someone that doesn't know about Shabbos, then it's a rachmanis. But the bottom line is, he can't receive it. He's emptying out his life. He's emptying out his world from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's seeking to enter into that place. Or who's there. But if a person is Mechalel Shabbos, you can't be mekabel Shabbos. If a person is Mechalel Shabbos, there's... If a person is Mechal Shabbos, then Chalila, he's throwing away Shabbos. He's destroying Shabbos B'Yadayim. He's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave, get out of here. Even though he might not be thinking that. Because what Shabbos means, one thing Hashem Yisbarach said, like the Kotzke said many times, that the Baruch Shalom, when he created this world, he lowered a ladder into this world. And he leaves that ladder ever so slightly above man's reach. And a person's tachlis in this world is simply to lift up your hand and to reach for that. That's to be mekabel the gift. Harchev pichav amaleihu. Open up your mouth, Hashem Yisbarach says, and I'll fill it with good things. But kaidin harchev pichav amaleihu. This is the meaning of Shomer Yom HaShabbos. Keeping Shabbos. Even if someone gives you a gift, you could ruin it. Even if someone gives you a gift, you don't know how to take care of it. You don't know what to do with this gift. Look, the Baruch Shalom gave us, many of us, we've been blessed with children. It's a gift. It's a matana. When you were standing there and the child was born, you said, this is unbelievable. What a nace. What an unbelievable nace. I want to thank you, Hashem, for giving this precious gift. How many of us have taken care of the gift properly? How many of us know what it means to be mekabel the gift of a child and to appreciate what the child is and to recognize who the child is that's sitting there the whole time with us? That little Shabbos, that little piece of Shabbos. Therefore, the Baruch Shalom says, Kaidam Kol, you have to be Shoyim Shabbos, you have to protect it, you have to take care of the gift that I'm giving you. You don't have to have kelim. There's no lulav. There's no esrog. There's no shofar. There's no this. It's just to be mekabel. To be mekabel. And all of the avodah of Shabbos, as we're going to learn, is simply that, to clear away the system, just like Yitzchak Avinu quieted down the entire world in order to receive Elokus. That's what I meant when I said before that Yitzchak Avinu knew that there were wellsprings. He just took away everything that was in the way. He took away everything that was in the way. So to Shabbos, there's no malacha. Shabbos, shah, still, shvisa. Shabbos is the time when if a person is able to silent and to still the sound of what? Of the physical world that has encaptured him the entire week and surrounded him the entire week, Shabbos mimeila is there. If the river Sambatyon stops, if the fire of Gehenim stops, so do all those things in life that are keeping us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are interrupting the natural flow that Shabbos is, the Aspeklari Hami'ir, like the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, all the halachas of Shabbos, we can talk about this more next week. So everybody is thinking, this is a very, very strange gift. Because it comes with a million instructions, right? Shabbos comes with so many instructions. And every single second of Shabbos, if you take your mind off of Shabbos, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos.
whether you realize it or not. You can't take your mind off of Shabbos. If you're not thinking, you'll turn on the light. If you're not thinking, you'll move something that's muktzeh. Shabbos says, remember me. Shabbos, every single second, how you eat, how you talk, what you talk about, how you act at the table, every single second. As it says in the Svarim, Ligin in Shabbos means to be completely, the 24 hours of Shabbos, Rabbi said, the 24 plus hours of Shabbos is like one long Shemoneh Esrei. And the same way that by Shemoneh Esrei, the most basic requirement, as is explained by Reb Chaim, the most basic kavana, without which it's worthless, is maybe I don't know what the words mean. Maybe I don't understand what the words mean. But I have one basic kavana, which is what? I am right now standing in the presence of Hashem. Tzur Levavi, He's here. Like it says in the Gemara in Tanis. Shivis Hashem, which means, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. Shem in the Kutsh Abrichu. Shabbos doesn't let you forget Hashem. Shabbos won't allow you to forget Hashem. That's why Davka has a mlin halachas, it's a long Shemoneh Esrei. And the same way that throughout Shemoneh Esrei a person has to be aware that I'm standing mamish in the presence of the King of all kings. That's what Shemoneh Esrei means. I'm not leaving him, he's not leaving me. That's the mitzias. Therefore, every single second of Shabbos is filled with that reality, that mitzias. If God forbid a person's turning on a light or is moving muktzah on some level, whether it's the rice or the rabbanon, whatever it is, but on some level he is distorting something that's fixed in place, and all you had to do is be makabel it and be conscious of how beautiful this gift is. Therefore, the zmiras of Shabbos are not like on Yom Tovim. On Yom Tov Pesach you sing about being free. Or you speak about the Nisim or the Makis, whatever it is. And Sukkot is Shatavayim B'Sosn, whatever it is. You speak about the Indian of the day. Different things that are going on. Shabbos is Mirus of what? Shabbos Hayom L'Hashem. Yom Zeh Mechubet. Shabbos Hayom L'Hashem. Not, this is what happens, this is what I do, this is what... Shabbos, that's all. Really, it's just one word. Shabbos. Shabbos Hayom L'Hashem. The song of Shabbos is a song about the day itself, not how I feel or what happens. It's a song of the reality of that wellspring of elokus, of godliness, that's been revealed, that point of your heart that's been excavated by Yitzchak Avinu. There's no zmiras Pesach Hayom L'Hashem, Shavuos Hayom L'Hashem. You don't have it. Because the Inyan of Shabbos is to be makabel. The Inyan of Shabbos is that there are no more kalim, there are no more wires, no more hookups. It's just being makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Therefore we understand that Davke, this means that Erev Shabbos is so unbelievable. Friday is the most unbelievable day. So now you're wondering, so what are we rushing like Mishagoyim? No matter when comes out, even the Shabbos. So now everybody has a tiny Shabbos at 4 o'clock, 4:15. It's impossible. What do you want from us? It's the same tiny when it's 8:15. You know that. So it doesn't have to do with clocks and calendars. There's something else going on with Shabbos. With Friday, with Erev Shabbos. What's that? Anything in the world that has a specific appliance connected to it, any level of kedusha that travels into our lives through a specific appliance, it has certain boundaries. It has a certain gedder. In other words, you have a refrigerator that has a certain amount of cube feet, and you have a bigger one, then you have like an industrial refrigerator, but you know, you maybe have a refrigerator as big as Rhode Island or something, but eventually it stops. And there's a certain shear. All the kalim of this world have shiurim, have limitations and boundaries. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, I'm trying to connect to something which does not have a gevul. It really doesn't have an end. Davne Nezer says la'alocha, that if we wouldn't make Havdalah, Shabbos would continue. I'm not going to explain that now. We're going to talk about that some time from now. But Davne Nezer talks about it in halacha. There's a mitzias. You have to stop Shabbos somehow. Hashem told us to. But really, Batsim? Shabbos, since Shabbos is himself, Hashem himself, Shabbos is Shemin Esrei for 25, 26 hours. Shabbos is what? Zah Hashem, Mamash, Shema, the Kutchabi, Chutzul, Avavi, the Chelki? Therefore, Shabbos itself is bli saif, it's ain saif, it has the quality of infinitude. It's something that doesn't end, Be'etzim. It's a taste of the end of time, which is without end, which is infinite. Therefore, Erev Shabbos has to be a day where man is rushing, where there's a rush. Because we know, and Rav Huttner talks about this by Rikas, I don't have time right now, I'm rushing. But Rav Huttner speaks about this at length, that the closest a Jew can get to breaking out of the time restraints of time and space is rushing. Rushing means, and Chazal have told us that the Jewish people, Beteva, Chazal have revealed, Beteva, it's typical of the Jewish people to be in a hurry. Jews in general in a hurry. In a hurry. You know, where are you running? But we're running. We're running. Why? The Indian of Erev Shabbos means there is no specific appliance that I'm getting ready. There is no specific hookup that I'm making. Erev Shabbos, you could be in the bakery and you're online and you're rushing because you need to get the challah, or you need to go to the next place, you have to get some kugel, or you need to take the kids here, you need to get back from the city from work, you need to get to the mikveh, you need to take a shower. Every single, since the whole Shabbos is a long Shemin Esrei, it's that awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being mamish with you together in your Dal Ramas. Therefore, the rushing and the excitement of Erev Shabbos means I'm sick and tired of appliances. It's time for me to put away all my appliances and run like a Mishigana, because running is the closest you can get to breaking out of the time barrier and the restraints of this world. That's the Indian when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son saw in the Gemara Shabbos, the Lag BaOmer Gemara, when they saw Ahu Saba, they saw the old man Elyonavi running. It was Erev Shabbos, right? It was candlelighting time. And they saw an old man running. Where you're running, he's running into Shabbos. What does it mean, running, Davke? Because running is that point between this world and the next. Walking means I'm comfortable in this world. Running means, on some level, that this world is less of a place for me. He was an old man because old age means I have one foot in this world and one foot out of the world. But that's what's happening when Shabbos comes into our lives. Therefore, you understand. It's not like other mitzvahs that I prepare Erev Yontav my lulav. I prepare Erev Yontav the last finishing touches on the sukkah. Because since sukkah itself is part of this world, and it has to do with the Beis Din, and it has to do with human initiative, therefore, the preparation, just like sukkah itself, is something which has limitations and boundaries, very great boundaries, but still boundaries, therefore the preparations for Yontav also contain boundaries. And there are specific acts, preparing the sukkah and so on. Shabbos is one thing, and we're going to talk more about this next week. Shabbos is, I want one thing, that means the king is coming. The king is coming, and when the king is coming, washing the floor, changing a light bulb, picking up a kugel, dropping a kid off, going to the mikveh, looking for your shirt or for your necktie, trying to get onto an earlier train to maybe have another 15 minutes of Shabbos with the family, you know, 15 minutes of an Erev Shabbos. Every single thing, every single second of that rush, that craziness, is a hachana for something which is infinite. Therefore, it's always hurried, it's always rushed. It's never part of this world. It's never comfortable in the time framework that it was given. It's never comfortable. It's just never that way. I grew up in a house where my mother would light, and she still does, she should be well, lights candles, Shabbos candles, at least 45 minutes before Shabbos. You know? She just, you know, and this is something that caused some tension in the house, because my mother insisted that we all be ready also, you know. And it was, over the years, and because we got married, and it became a half hour maybe, but still, my mother, from 12 o'clock, now forget it. So ready with the clock, and what time were you going, what are you doing? That's the Erev Shabbos that we were talking about from Rabbi Yosef Be'er, that Erev Shabbos, the Jews, from the old time Jews, that Erev Shabbos is something. Erev Shabbos. Bekitzer, Erev Shabbos is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Shabbos is Mashiach ben David. What do I mean by that? We'll talk much more about this. Six always means Yosef HaTzadik, because six is Yesod, and six means Yosef HaTzadik. Erev Shabbos is Mashiach ben Yosef, because Mashiach ben Yosef means all that I could do to get ready. It means tzaddik yisayid olam. It means a hisayrus mitzad, the person himself. That's the inyan of Erev Shabbos. And those are the hachanas that we make on Erev Shabbos. And just like Yosef HaTzadik provided, and he had to get things ready for the entire world, to feed the world, so on Erev Shabbos we make all of these hachanas. That's the inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef. And the whole inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef is appearing in the physical world before the end of time. Shabbos, the number seven, of course, is always David HaMelech. Seven is Malchus, that's Mashiach ben David. And Mashiach ben David means Malchus based David. Mashiach ben David means the Shechina is here. It's just, it's happening. I might not realize it. You could ask many questions about David HaMelech and say, I don't see that the Shechina, I don't know that there's a Shechina with that man. Well, I don't know. He does this, he did that. David HaMelech is the Metzius of the Shechina in the life of Klal Yisrael. Mashiach ben David means that Hashem was with us all of the time, we just didn't know. Mashiach ben David means that even when Yehuda was doing things that we don't understand, and even when David HaMelech did things we didn't understand, and even when Lot and the whole Maaseh with his daughters, things that we don't understand. But since Shabbos means, Mashiach ben David means, that there is a lukus, there is that essence of a Jew that is what? Hashem says that he is the heart of every Jew. He's the essence of a Jew. Mashiach ben David means this is the Metzius. This is the reality. That's Shabbos. Therefore, we could understand. It's late. I'm just going to say for a minute. We could understand that it's brought down. There's a minig of the Chassidim to try, if possible, to have a little nap on Erev Shabbos. That might come as a shock to many of you. And it might sound like it's totally ridiculous. And it's also one of the few Chassidish minhagim that I've seen non-Chassidim still abide by. That and Toyamei Chaim Zuchi. I remember when we were in the bungalow years ago, you had these guys that they would drive up, you know, they would drive up, like they would come there 15 minutes before Shabbos. The poor wife is a whole week, mamish, slaving with the kids and getting ready for Shabbos. He pulls up and he says, he's already walking from the car, Toyamei Chaim Zuchi. That's the only Chassidish minhag, is to have a little bit of the Shabbos food, right? He has to have a little bit, a taste of Shabbos. Taimer Chaim Zuchi. So the Friday afternoon nap, what does it mean? It's such an Indian, this we could talk about itself, mamish, for years. This minig of resting a little bit, if it's possible, Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Aaron Kalina, Rabbi Aaron Hagadol will explain. It says in Torah, Shomer Yom HaShabbos, which means to guard the Shabbos. That means that on Shabbos, a Jew is standing guard duty. And Rabbi Kalina said, Mail, we understand that if you're going to be 25 hours on guard duty, it's only right that you give the guy a chance to rest a little bit, to prepare. That's what the Kalina said. A person who's getting ready for his Mishmer, for guard duty, so you understand that he needs a little bit of a manucha before to get ready, a nap, or else God forbid, he's going to fall asleep while he's on the job. So this sounds so strange. Right? This sounds very strange. Let me explain for 1 minute what this means, on our level what this means, because it's really an amazing inyan. It all depends how you keep Shabbos. And obviously, it all depends how you keep Shabbos. If you see the Suda of Shabbos, the meal of Shabbos, as being a time of unbelievable avoda, with the Zmiris, and the Torah, and the closeness with the Mishpacha, Bez Hashem, that there's a family to be with, and investing in the children, investing in a wife, a husband, investing into learning, and if the Tefillahs are the way they're supposed to be, the Tefillahs of Shabbos, and a time to learn on Shabbos, so then you understand, this person is standing up for a long Shemoneh Esrei. It's a long Shemoneh Esrei. By the Chassidim, it's Friday night that you're up the whole night, not Thursday night. It's an Ahapaychu that happens sometime later on, that Thursday night was a whole night, so you can't, so that he has a reason to sleep for the next 2 days. Really, Shabbos, a Jew, is what? Standing guard duty. It means that every single second, the Rebbeinu Shlom is mamish with you. And in order to be able to do that, there's this symbolic act of closing the eyes for a few minutes Erev Shabbos. Because this person's Shabbos is unbelievable. But what happens if you have another kind of a Jew? That this is his Friday night. His idea of a Friday night is, first of all, the shortest possible minyan. And even the shortest possible minyan, the fastest bal tefillah. And if that guy over there dares to take another step towards the Amud, I'm never going to show up in this place again. Because there's a certain bal tefillah we all like, right? And that bal tefillah is going to zip us through. And then the shaila is, when we come to the meal, fine, we'll do what we have to, we'll say the words that we have to, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Fine, we'll go through the whole Shalom Aleichem as fast as we can, wash, we have to say a little bit of a vart, and all of a sudden the child appears with the papers from the week, and you see the husband gives this look, what do you got over there, and this is parasha, and if you have Kanaan Har, there are a few children, and they'll pull out their parasha things, so then you start to say crazy things like, tomorrow's also Shabbos, you know. It's not just tonight. The kid said, I just said Lech Lecha. That's all I said so far. Okay, but we have the whole day tomorrow, and you know the whole day tomorrow, and Nechta Gittag. And your whole Shabbos is what to be, I'd say, Avart. And you say Avart. And they say the same Avart to a wife, how you doing? How was your week? Fine. And she says the same Avart to the husband. And we say Verdlich to the children. And you say Verdlich and Davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole davening is not vetlach. That's all it is. Not a Shemin Esrei. Not Zashem Kivinu Lo. Not to feel the presence and the closest. Not the present of His presence. And of Shema Dekut Shebrichu. So then for that you have to take a nap Erev Shabbos? For that type of guard duty? What are you doing the whole Shabbos, Rabbeinu Shalom? The second you can get away from the table, the guy is in bed. He prides himself. He comes to shul the next morning, 9:32. And he says, I was in bed by 7. How about you? 6:54. There's like there's a girl, there's a lottery in shul. I'm ahead of you. So for such a Shabbos, you understand, one does not need to have a nap Erev Shabbos. That's not what the tzaddikim are talking about. You know, I read in the sefer that there was a yid, an old Jew from Slonim. And he went through a lot of tzaras. He was in Siberia for a long time. And they asked this yid, somebody asked him, what was Kabbalah Shabbos like by the Slonim Rebbe? Where it used to be, when you were there. What was it like, Kabbalah Shabbos by the Slonim Rebbe? So this is what the yid answered. He said, I was in Siberia for a long time, for quite a few years. The hunger and the cold are beyond human description that I suffered over there. But I remember that when I was liberated, when I got away from there, and I was taken into a Jewish home, that when I walked into that home, the warmth of the home, post-Siberia, and the first taste of the food that I had in 4 or 5 years, whatever that was, that's how every Kabbalah Shabbos, when I walked from the street, from that little shtetl of Slonim, into the Rebbe's Beis Medrash, that's what it felt like every single Friday when I walked into the Rebbe's Beis Medrash. The way that I felt when I went out from Siberia L'Orgodl, to freedom. That's what it was like. That can only be experienced by a Jew who keeps Erev Shabbos, who understands what Erev Shabbos means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be able to understand that if a person's Shabbos, and I'm going to talk about this much more as far as how we act and how we dress on every level, but if a person spends Shabbos with reading some ridiculous book, or even if it's a chashuva book, but it's a chashuva book that is not strengthening your awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. If it's not clearing away some of the dirt that's over the be'er, over the wellspring, over the rechayvus of Ata Hirchiv Hashem Lanu Farina Bar, it's over the essence of who you are. If it's something that's distracting, then on some level it's Chilul Shabbos also. On some level, you're pushing away the Shechina that's sitting there and waiting and just wants to be received. We'll talk about Shemur next week about what we can do to receive Shabbos. And the meaning of the Hachanis and the Kabbalahs of Shabbos on a deeper level, we should be zoichi for Yom Shekula Shabbos Menucha, Begula Hashem, Yomitis Mehem Yomino Amen.